trio. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. Sounded better than some bigger choirs I've heard. So, amen. Without him, I can do nothing. Praise God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll be back here. And Lord willing, we will finish up this section tonight. And marching through this epistle, marching through the Word of God, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, faith to faith. And you say, Brother Jacob, there's things that I don't know, and it's not been preached yet. Well, just hold on, because when we go in verse by verse, it'll get got somewhere along the way. So there's things I don't understand, and things I want to hear preached. Well, just hang on, and they'll get preached eventually. Amen. And that's one thing that's great about going verse by verse through the Bible is that you wind up dealing with things and majoring on the things that the Bible majors on. What we can do as human beings, preachers are bad about it. If we're not careful as preachers, we can get things that sometimes we call it a hobby horse. You know, you ride just things that you ride all the time, you know. But sometimes it's not necessarily just a hobby horse. Sometimes it's just truths that are familiar. And you tend to lean towards things that are already familiar. And you wind up, it seemed like sometimes, I heard it said of one preacher, they said he preaches a different text, but it's the same three points every time he preaches, you know. Yeah, just change the name of the message, same three points, different text. And, you know, you're not careful, you always wind up circling back around to the same familiar things, you know. And we're not careful, we can major on things that the Bible does not major on, and minor on things that the Bible does major on. And so just letting the Bible be the Bible helps keep us balanced, helps keep us what God wants us to be, helps keep us balanced in the things. And so I thank God for that, and I enjoy it. So anyways, Ephesians chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse number 1 again. We'll read through this passage one more time, and then we'll begin giving our thoughts and preaching the message to you tonight. So Ephesians 3, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the gospel of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and giving us a good service this morning, letting us come together into worship. Thank you, Lord, for the good fellowship we had after church, and Lord, just a good day in the Lord you've given us today, Lord. And I thank you for it, and Lord, I thank you for letting us be back tonight to worship again, letting us come together and pray together, and Lord, then giving us a good worship service, giving us, Lord, good songs to sing, and Lord, allowing us to pray and fellowship together, and Lord, allowing us to give, and just all the things you've allowed us to do tonight thus far, Lord, I thank you for it. And Father, I thank you now for this time of preaching. I ask, Lord, now that you would bless us and help us. And Lord, I pray that you would move me out of the way, and Lord, that you would guide my thoughts, and that you would help me tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give good liberty to preach the Word of God tonight, and Lord, give that special touch, that special unction that it takes to preach the Word of God. Lord, we know that it's not in the performance of man that matters. Lord, it's the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost that matters. And so, Lord, I pray that your Word would go out in power. Lord, I know that it'll not return void. I pray that you would give us discernment, and Lord, give us what we need to hear and receive the Word of God tonight. Open our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray that you would change us for time and eternity tonight, Lord. And we'll thank you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen and amen. So we began looking this morning, preaching on the mystery of the gospel, and started out looking this morning at the person of this mystery. And of course, God called the Apostle Paul. He was that apostle to the Gentiles, that apostle really to and for the Gentiles, the man that God used to raise up and preach and teach this mystery and make known this mystery. And if you remember, talked about how, you know, a mystery is not something that's eerie, but it's just something that was never exposed or known before. And he actually deals with that in verse 5. He says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Talking about that mystery. But then he says, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So it's something that was not previously known of men, but now it's being revealed. And so thank God we have a Bible that reveals all these things to us. And may God help us to read this Bible. Amen. And greatest book ever written. And the closest thing we have to Jesus Himself in the flesh is this Bible. And so may God help us to read it and study it, and meditate upon it, and to seek out the deep riches of the things of God. And so thank God for what's been revealed. But in the person, of course, we saw what prompted him, and that was God's calling. And then we started looking at the prisonership, I guess, of the man, if that's even a word. The fact that Paul was a prisoner at this time, and he was literally a prisoner. And God works in our circumstances. He works in our difficult circumstances. And even though it may seem that we may be a prisoner to a circumstance, we never know what God is using our circumstances for, how He's going to bless and what He's going to do with our difficult circumstances. Matter of fact, I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians and look in chapter 11. We all probably have heard these verses. They're probably familiar verses to us, but I want us to read them. Regarding Paul, the apostle, and his circumstances and things he did for God, and just his life. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and look in verse 23, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And so, boy, it's pretty clear that Paul certainly took up his cross. I mean, he certainly bore. Could any of us say that we've had it any worse than Paul has had? I mean, could any of us say that we've had it even as bad as Paul has had, or even as close as the Apostle Paul had it in his Christian walk? I mean, could any of our lives, any of the hardships that even I've or any of us have ever been through, could it even hold a candle to all the things that Paul, most of that stuff should have killed him. I mean, shipwreck 3 times? I've not even been in 3 car wrecks, let alone 3 shipwrecks, you know? And a night and a day in the deep, that means he was out in the ocean just floating on a broken piece of wood or something, just waiting, hoping to be rescued or whatever, a night and a day. I mean, in perils in the wilderness and five times he received 40 stripes, save one. So that's 39 stripes, five times. I don't know what 39 times five is, but that's a lot of stripes. And three times he was beaten with rods. All these things he has gone through for the cause of Christ, and yet so many times, boy, it seems like circumstances can get us down and get us discouraged and get us ready to quit and thinking, God, where are you in our life, you know? And yet we look at man like the Apostle Paul and all the disciples and the apostles and what all they went through. And even our forefathers, our Baptist forefathers, what all they went through. And boy, the little things that we go through really could not hold a candle. I think it was maybe yesterday or day before, me and my family, mom and them, we were kind of just thinking back through the years. Growing up for a long time before she met and married Boozer, it was just us three. It was just me and my mom and my sister. So I grew up with a single parent home, and she worked two and three jobs to take care of us and all these things. And really, as a kid, I didn't realize how poor we were growing up, you know. You know, you just grow up and that's just the way it is. And so I had a good childhood, had a good raising, had a good life. I have no sad stories to tell, but we did just kind of get to reminiscing and mom telling some stories about just like how poor she was back then, you know, as a single mother and all that. She talked about how one time she had lost a hubcap on one of her car or a couple hubcaps or something, and she didn't have the money to afford a whole set of four hubcaps, so she just bought two that way, and she put two matching ones on one side and then two matching ones on the other side because she figured, you know, people aren't going to see one side of the car at a time anyways, you know. As far as she knew, nobody ever noticed, nobody ever said anything, but, you know, just stuff like that. Funny stuff. We laugh about that stuff now, but thinking about any of us that would say, well, we grew up poor, you know. Listen, the way I came up, poor or not, could not hold a candle to what early Christians came up and went through and have gone through in years gone by. Could not hold a candle to what the men of God in the Bible faced, many of them. Listen, we even at our poorest state in America, we live so far above the way people have lived in years gone by. I mean, the Lord has just been so good to us, you know? And yet, it seems like circumstances, Paul called his afflictions light afflictions. I'd say we're the ones with the light afflictions. Amen? And yet, they get us down so many times. And so, Paul is our example. He is our pattern. And he went through all these things and yet kept pressing on for God. Amen? And so may God help us to keep pressing on. So he was a circumstantial prisoner, and of course we dealt with all that. But he also was I believe, a spiritual prisoner. Whenever he said, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, has somewhat of a twofold interpretation, because Paul said that many times. The word prisoner is only used like 13 times in the New Testament. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's like 11 of those times it was used by in the writings of the Apostle Paul. And almost every time that he used it, he was referring to himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Not a prisoner, but a prisoner of Christ. And so, yes, he was a prisoner literally in this sense, but he was also a prisoner spiritually. I believe he viewed his life as a prisoner bound to Christ and bound to the ministry. And by the way, that's what happens to us whenever we get saved. I thought about that bond slave, you know, sells himself into slavery. And that's kind of like Paul was. He sold out for God, and he sold out to the point that he was a bond slave. He was sold to be a servant. He was the prisoner of Christ there to do his bidding. And I want you to know tonight, all of us, we are all selling out to somebody. And if we are not sold out as the bond slave, the prisoner of Christ, we're selling out to somebody else. You're never neutral. You're never neutral. We're selling out to one or the other. We're either selling out to a good master who says, if you, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever will lose his life will find it. Listen, if you'll sacrifice this life, you know, you've got more. I'll bless you, all those things. And we'll sacrifice this life to sell out to a good master who will tell us the truth and be honest and ask us to, you know, present our bodies a living sacrifice in this life that we might obtain heaven and obtain glory. Or we'll sell out to an evil master that'll tell us all kinds of lies and deceit and tell us to live for today, tell us to live for this life, and draw us away with all the lures and the attractions and the entertainments of this world and get us all focused on this thing to sacrifice our future for. But people are always selling out to somebody, one or the other. Amen? But Paul viewed himself as a prisoner. He was the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was sold out to Christ and the ministry. And so we see the prisoner in the man. Then, not only do we see the prompting of the person for this ministry. Paul's that person. We see what prompted him in it. We see the prisoner in the person. Then, verses 1 and 2, the end of verse 1, verse 2, we see the position of this person. Verse 1, look back at it again. It says, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Then he says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. So, that grace of God was given to Paul for those Gentiles. That's what he says right there. The grace of God that was given to me, to you were, to you. And in verse, back up right there for just a second though, he says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. The word dispensation or a dispensation deals with God dispensing himself to man. And what he's dispensing to Paul is the revelation of this mystery, the mystery of the church. And he's dispensing that to Paul, that Paul might teach and preach it to the Gentiles or to anybody else that will listen and write it in an epistle that we can know it now. That's why we are in what we call the dispensation of grace or the church age. It is one of the ways in which God is dispensing himself to us. Amen? And so, he's dispensing that grace to Paul for the Gentiles. Okay? Talk about the position of the believer. Now, Paul is in the right position to preach and teach this mystery, is what I'm trying to get you to see in that, understanding that. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Turn back to Romans chapter 15. And look in verse number 15. Romans 15, verse 15. Okay, so the same apostle is writing this that wrote Ephesians, both of them under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Okay? So he says there, he is the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. That's what Paul was chosen for. And so, in other words, Paul is in the position to be preaching that. So, from the position, he is the best one to speak to the Ephesians concerning this great mystery of the church. Now, you say, Brother Zach, what does that mean for us? What it means for us is that God always has a person for the work that He wants to do. He's got a man. He, and generally, he builds ministries on a man. whenever he has a message, has something that wants to be preached, he has a man. But if he has something that's going to be done, he's always going to have a man. He's always going to have a person. He's going to have somebody that he is going to use. Now, what that means for you and for me is that if we want to be used of God, we need to be in the position, get ourselves in the position to be used of God. Because God can take us so far beyond what we think we can do and not do. But if He's got a job to do, we've got to be usable, be callable. Amen? I think so many people are waiting for the same experience that somebody else had. And I think some people are waiting for the same experience that the Apostle Paul had. On the road to Damascus, where he's riding, you know, and the light flashes on him, and God, he hears the voice of God speaking to him and all these things. And I think a lot of people are waiting for that same experience. When the callings of God are not in an experience like that anymore. Paul was an apostle. We don't have apostles anymore. And God's not going to call you or me or any of us to be an apostle. He's given us all the revelation we need. He's speaking directly to us through this book. And so He wants to use all of us. He's got a job. He's got something He wants to do with you and use your life for. The problem is a lot of times we're not callable. We don't make ourselves available to God. But the point is, God always has a person for a work that He wants to do. I say, but Jacob, what if I start doing the wrong work? Well, I heard one man say this. He said, just jump in. He said, just believe the Bible and just start doing something for God and just start serving somewhere and just get busy as you can get serving God and make God move you somewhere else. I mean, just get busy. One man said, pray like everything depends on God and work like everything depends on you. Amen. Because I don't think we're going to stand before God and God say, well, you know, you were a little too fervent in your service. You're a little too busy trying to serve. You're a little too busy trying to preach the gospel. You're a little too busy, a little too involved in the church. And, you did a lot of stuff, but, you know, I didn't really call you to sweep those floors when you were sweeping the floors, and so you're not going to get a reward for that. You know, I didn't really call you to do the vacuuming you did, and so, you know, you're not going to get a reward for that. I didn't really call you. It wasn't really your calling to be out on the street preaching when the church was out street preaching, so you're not getting rewards for that. I don't think God's going to say that to us. I think He is looking for somebody that is just willing to do anything and willing to make themselves available and be committed and that's got fortitude and just willing to do anything for God. And that's the type of person that He will open up more doors for. He'll take further in the things of God. And so God always has a person for the work He wants to do. The question is, what's the work He wants to do with you? What's the work He wants to do with me? This was Paul's work, not our work. But God's got a work for us. He's got a work for you. Amen. So in that we see the person in this mystery. All right. Verse 3 and verse 4, we see perceiving of this mystery. Look at verse 3. He says, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may, or when ye read, rather, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We see perceiving in this mystery. So the mystery was learned of Paul from divine revelation from the Lord. We've already covered that. It's not some made up idea of man that we preach. Really what this is, it's the mystery of the gospel or the mystery of the church is what it is. And this isn't something made up by man to try to get people to be faithful and to be committed to a ministry. This is something that came to Paul as a divine revelation from the Lord showing that Jews and Gentiles would be together in one body. And Paul didn't get it from books. And he didn't get it hearing from others. He didn't get it reading from what somebody else said. He got it directly from God. And by the way, We still have divine revelation now. We've got King James Bibles. This is our divine revelation. I know it seems like I'm harping on this, but this is just where we're at in the Scriptures. And this is just the truth. We need to get back to this Bible. That's one of the first things I laid down, foundation-wise, when we started going to the jail, was getting those men to understand that anything we come in and preach, we are going to major on this Bible. We are going to major on this truth. Now, it may not hype you up, and it may not, you know, it may not get us running around and doing cartwheels, and it may not really pump us all up. But the most important thing in life is not something that pumps us up. The most important thing in life is truth. Having the foundation of truth. And so the divine revelation that Paul got from the Lord personally, one-on-one, is no more truth than what you're holding in your hand tonight. It's no more divine than what we're holding in this Bible. It's no more revelation than the revelation we get in this Bible. It's just as much true. It's just as pure. It's just as perfect. It's just the same as if Jesus was telling us personally. That's it. I mean, we talk about, well, you know, Paul, he was apostle, and Jesus and the Lord, he gave him directly this divine revelation. Well, let me tell you, the Lord's given you directly this divine revelation too. Paul didn't make all this stuff up reading after other men, reading other books. He got it from divine revelation from God, and we've got the same thing. God's given it to us in 66 books. See, too many people are looking to hear from other sources rather than God. You know how people get all messed up? They listen to too much preaching about the Bible rather than reading the Bible. They read too many books about the Bible rather than reading the Bible. That's what happens a lot of times. And a lot of people get deceived and get all messed up because they're not in the Bible. And can I tell you this? A lot of Christians, church people, and some of them have been at it for a long time, have no more faith than what they have because they're not in their Bible. You know, it's not enough just to come to church and get three messages a week. I mean, I've already told you, I think it was last week, you know, spiritually, when it comes to being close to God, you don't necessarily need me. Now, God's given gives pastors and teachers to help mature the church for the perfecting of the saints. But at the end of the day, if you've got a King James Bible and the Holy Spirit, you can get everything I can get. We don't need priests and popes and all them anymore. God's given each of us divine revelation. And so we need to be in this Bible. And so we don't need or receive weird revelations in today anymore beyond what we get in this Bible. What we do need, though, is illumination to understand this Bible. You do realize that. Now, it does take divine, it does take divine illumination to understand the Scriptures. But it's just like Brother Ernest said this morning, Billy Mitchell used to say that, you know, you can't, one man said, I can't understand the Bible. He said, you can't understand anything you don't read. If you don't read it, you never will understand it. It takes divine illumination to understand the Scriptures. You better believe there's a lot of things I still read in this Bible that I don't understand. Don't think for a second I've got it all figured out. There's still a lot of things I don't understand. And we're all there. But that doesn't mean we don't read. That doesn't mean we don't try. That doesn't mean we don't apply ourselves to be able to perceive these mysteries. That's what we're talking about, perceiving the mysteries. Some things are a mystery. They've not been revealed yet. Not been revealed to us in our mind, in our thinking. They're there, but it takes divine illumination to receive it. And so the same illumination or same divine revelation that Paul had, we have. We just need illumination, read this Bible to receive it. Amen? So we have the perceiving of the mystery. Then, last of all, Verses 3 and 4, we have the proclaimstery. Look in verse 3 again, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So he said, as I wrote afore in few words. He's going back to chapter 2 where he had just wrote about this. Just kind of expose this and talk about this. Matter of fact, if you look in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And of course, he goes on dealing with how they're going to be brought in, middle wall of partition broke down, one in Christ, neither Jew nor Gentile, all those things. He's just dealt with all this and wrote with all this. And so he says, as I just wrote in a few words, but in those few words, he's going to then give some notations about the reading of these words. Okay? He says in verse 4, when ye read. When ye read. He is assuming that they're just going to read. It's kind of like whenever Christ said, when ye fast. Which, and that's probably one of the most neglected thing in the church today, is fasting. But Jesus just assumed that his people would fast. It's kind of the same thing here. Paul's just assuming that they're going to read this letter. So in that, we kind of see the requirement for reading. In other words, saints, I believe you and us, we are obligated to read. Now, this is all getting back to the same stuff about reading our Bible, being in our Bible. We are obligated to read the Scriptures. I don't believe there really is any way to be right with God if you are not reading your Bible. It's almost like we view it now as kind of a suggestion. Like it's a New Year's resolution that we never follow through with. The first of every new year, people are making the New Year's resolution, I'm going to read my Bible for this year. And either I'll do it or I'll not do it, but I hope I do. Listen, it's not like I hope I do, I hope I make it. No, you can't be right with God if you're not. It's not a suggestion. It's not like, you know, it's something that I'll do, you know, and try to be extra spiritual and something, you know, that I'll try to do to make myself better. No, it's not a suggestion. God never said, you know, read the Bible if you want to do better. No, He said read the Bible. It is a command. It is demanded of us that we read these Scriptures. And Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, when ye read. He assumed they were going to read. They are obligated to do so, and we are obligated to do so as well. So what was written under the pen of Paul in this epistle, this letter, is part of Scripture. Being part of Scripture, we're obligated to read it as well. We must read the Word of God. Failure to read the Word of God, failure to read the Scriptures, is going to do a few things in your life. First of all, it's going to keep you in the dark about the most important matters of life. There is so much emphasis, seems like, on I can't think of the word I want to use here, but it seems like there's so much emphasis on being, okay, I know the word, on being informed. Everybody wants to be informed. And it kills me. The second, their favorite news outlet isn't saying the things that they want them to say anymore, they switch to another news outlet so they can be, you know, continue to be informed. That's just like during the election, there's this like big fallout with Fox News. Like everybody's like ditched Fox News because suddenly they're not saying what they want to say anymore about the president, you know. And so if this person doesn't say what I want them to say, I'll go to this person. If they don't say what I want them to say, I'll go to this person, because hearing what I want to hear makes me informed, right? You know. So now everybody's gone from Fox News to Newsmax. Let me just help you. You're not really getting deep truth concerning what really matters in life from any of them. You're not really getting the deep truth of what really is going to sustain you and what really matters in life. You're not getting that from any of them. I don't care who it is. So many people are so caught up in being informed in the things of the world that we're not informed with the things of God anymore. We're more caught up in being informed with what's going on in the world, what's going on in society, with the election. And by the way, I'm not against knowing what's going on. I mean, I'm not saying we ought to dig a hole and start a compound and build big walls around us and cut ourselves. That's not what I'm saying. But we have to understand that people are obsessed with this stuff. It's what they live. People are spending so much time in front of the TV and in front of the phone getting informed on all the things of the world. That's it. On the Lord's Day too. Yep. And doing all those things, and yet we're uninformed with the Word of God and the things of God. And this is what matters. This is what really matters. This is what is important. People are more caught up in being informed in the ways of the world rather than being caught up in being transformed by the Word of God. Amen? I mean, what about all these people that can tell you like every statistic for every ball player that's ever played the game? Like, they can tell you who won the World Series in 1982. But they couldn't quote you John 3:16 and they say, "Oh, I'm saved. I love Jesus." Oh, and by the way, some preachers are this way. Drives me nuts, man. All they talk about is sports and all this stuff. And I'm for all that stuff. I mean, we talk about hunting and fishing and stuff like that. But listen, the main thing ought to be the Word of God in our life. By the way, I couldn't quote the verse verbatim, and I really couldn't even tell you the rest for it, so I'd have to go look it up. But there is a verse in the Bible that deals with being very simple concerning the things of the world and very wise concerning the things of God. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be simple-minded. I mean, we got to be in the world, and we've got to be around the world, and we've got to work in the world, and we've got to have, you know, we've got to be around, I mean, we've got to sit with sinners. Jesus sat with sinners. He didn't sin with sinners, but he sat with sinners. That's it. He sat and he ate and he drank with them and he befriended them and tried to reach them, but he didn't sin with them. And we need to do the same thing. I mean, we're going to have to relate to lost people if we're going to reach them. We understand that. But the main thing in our life's got to be the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. And if you are not reading your Bible, failure to read the Scriptures will keep you in the dark about the most important matters of life. You may not be in the dark about the way the election's going, but you'll be in the dark about the most important things. Because listen, in 4 years, somebody else is going to be president. And then 4 years after that, somebody else will be president. And 4 years after that, somebody else will be. I mean, you know, it's like it never ends. But these truths will never change. They'll never end. They'll stand forever. These are the most important things. So to keep in the dark about the most important matters of life, number two, it'll keep you ignorant of God's will for your life. Getting back to the person for this mystery. God always having a person for the job that He wants to do. God's got something that He wants you to do. He's got a will for you. But if you're not in this Bible, you will be ignorant of that will. There is no way to know God's will for our lives without being in this Bible and knowing what this Bible says. There's no way. I've talked to people and tried to counsel people and help people, young people, older people too, who they're just like, "I just don't know what God wants me to do." "Well, are you reading your Bible?" "Well, no, not as much as I should." Well, that's a good place to start. A good place to start is reading your Bible. Because the way the Lord directly speaks to us is through this Bible. A good place to start, if you want to know what God wants out of you, want God's will, start reading your Bible, praying every day, and being faithful to church. That'll help most people more than anything. Reading their Bible, praying every day, walking with God daily, with just one-on-one, and then going to church and hearing preaching. That'll help most people. Because if you're not reading your Bible, it will keep you ignorant of God's will for your life. You won't know what God wants of you. If you're not reading your Bible, it will keep your mind dirty with the things of the world. That's it. We need the washing of water by the Word. We need to have our minds cleansed with the Word of God. And so, I know the saying, talk about somebody being dirty-minded, has like immoral sexual connotations, but the fact is, spiritually, our minds get dirtied with the things of the world. And it's not necessarily always things that are vile and immoral and things like that. It's just having things in our mind that don't matter. That's it. Things that are temporal, things that don't matter. People are so caught up in temporal things. They think about temporal things. They talk about temporal things. And they're sold out to temporal things because their mind is not in the Word of God. And those things are not necessarily wrong things. They're not necessarily sinful things. You know, entertainment, there's nothing wrong with entertainment. I just spent the last week enjoying a lot of entertainment. You know, we went to the mountains and we went hiking. We took the boys riding horses, did all those things that we did. And you do those things too. And that's a good thing. But listen, that's not what we live for. But if we're not careful, we're not in this book. Temporal things, things that don't matter, they will overtake us. And the things that do really matter, they won't be in there. They won't be the main part of our life. And our minds will be dirtied and will be clogged with things that just really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. That comes from not reading your Bible. Not consistently reading your Bible. Failure to read the Scriptures will keep you weak in your faith. It'll keep you weak in your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. A lot of people are losing their minds, or have lost their minds this past year over this virus and over what's going to happen with the government and what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there, what's going to happen in the economy. And they're scared of trying to figure out in their mind, trying to reason out how things are going to work out. And they're listening to all the political pundits and they're listening to Fox News and all that stuff instead of going to, again, what really matters. And they're scared to death. Some people quit church, never going back, don't have the faith to step out of their house without thinking, you know, they'll combust immediately. Like the virus will just attack them the second they walk in the house. They'll just combust. I mean, they're just scared to death. And they have no faith. You want to know why? Because they're taking in all that stuff and they're not taking in this book. They're not taking in divine revelation. They're not hearing from God. They're hearing from the world. By the way, if you give the world your ear, you'll certainly hear from them. They're always shouting. They're always calling. Facebook is always calling. The news is always calling. Sports are always calling. It's always you. If you give them your ear, you're here. And you'll take in all that stuff. But if you don't take in this Bible, you'll have no faith. You'll just be like everybody else, wondering how things are going to work out. Listen, I know exactly how things are going to work out. They're going to work out the way God wants them to work out. They're going to work out the way God wants them to work out. He's on the throne. He's in control. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time of His return is at hand. It could happen any moment. And if He does tarry, if He doesn't come back, He's going to take care of me and He's going to take care of you if we're serving Him, living for Him. I know those things are going to happen. Oh, I don't know exactly how all the political mess and economic mess is going to pan out exactly. But I do know what God said. And I know that David said that he was young, he'd been young, now he was old, never seen the righteous forsaken, never seen his seed begging bread. He'd seen a lot of ups and a lot of downs, a lot of good times, a lot of bad times, a lot of good economies and bad economies. And yet he never saw God's people forsaken by God. I get that from reading the Bible. And so, whenever we know what God said, it gives us faith. But if you're not reading your Bible, you'll struggle in your faith. It'll keep your faith weak. So the mystery's been proclaimed. We just have to read it. Amen? All right, last of all, let me give this very, very quick. Not just the requirement for reading, but then also the results from reading. He said in verse 4, that ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read, he said, you're going to understand my knowledge in the mystery. None of these things are hidden from us. God's written all these things. God's written everything in this Bible that he might be known. God's not hiding himself from any of us. He wants to be known. He wants to walk with us. He wants to bless us. Brother Ernest has said it many times. He wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed many times. That's why he has put it here. And so reading the epistle gives understanding of what God is telling us in this mystery. But failure to read produces ignorance. Now many folks, they don't understand because they don't read. Because they just don't read. Now church and preaching and meetings and things like that, that's boring to a lot of people. A lot of people who say that they're saved, it's boring to them. You want to know why that is a lot of times? Because they don't come already stirred because they've been in the Word. You know what will help you be excited about church and about preaching more than anything else? Being in the Word throughout the week. If you'll be in the Word throughout the week, you will come to church, and every time you come to church, the Lord will be speaking to you concerning the message that's being preached. And then oftentimes also concerning the things that you've read that may be totally unrelated to the message that's being preached to. I cannot tell you how many times that has happened. Where I've been reading the Bible and what's being preached has nothing to do with what I've been reading. But there's been some things I kind of didn't understand. And suddenly while that message is being preached, God turned a light on that thing and it's totally unrelated. I cannot tell you how many times that's happened to me. But you know what it takes? It takes being in the Word to get that. God manifests Himself through preaching. That's what the book says. And it may not necessarily always be directly related to what is preaching, but He manifests Himself through preaching. Amen. So you want to be excited about church and get some out of church? Be in the book throughout the week. That'll stir you. That will help you. And so it'll help church, things not be born. And so a lot of people are easily deceived and led astray because they're not in the Word. From what I understand, they say Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, people like that, they say some of the easiest people to convert are Baptists. Because they don't read the Bible, don't know what they believe. So again, the problem's not in our Bible. It's just as divine in terms of revelation as the divine revelation Paul got from God. So the problem's not with our Bible. We believe the Bible. We know why we believe the Bible. We believe the King James Bible. We know why. We know the history of it. But our problem a lot of times, it's not in our Bible. It's we don't read our Bible. We need to have this mystery, the mysteries of the Word of God proclaimed into our heart. And it's going to be done through the Bible. Amen. Are you reading your Bible like you should? The only way to grow in the things of God is reading this Bible. Consistently reading the Bible. I heard a statistic years ago. I'm going to give you this. I'm done. Heard a statistic years ago. I think it was either Barna or it was Pew Research. They did a poll, not of everybody, but just of church people, like faithful church people. And only 20% of what would be considered faithful church people, only 20% ever read the Bible through in their life. One time. Read the Bible all the way through one time in their life. 2 out of every 10, not people, church people, they say will ever read the Bible through one time in their entire life. And so it's no wonder why our faith is so weak. It's no wonder why people are so easily deceived. It's no wonder why church is so boring to so many people and the preaching just doesn't do much of them. Because you can't take in the world 6 days a week and then suddenly flip on the spiritual switch on Sunday and be like, oh yeah, let's worship now. When our minds are so dirtied with the things of the world, we've got to have the Scripture in there. May God help us to read the Bible and search the Scriptures. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for helping us with the Word. Thank you for helping us with the message. Pray that you'll take it and use it. I ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to take very seriously, Lord, this thing of studying our Bibles and reading our Bibles. Lord, we know it's not a suggestion. Lord, it is a precious gift that you have given to us. Lord, the Holy Spirit and this Bible, Lord, that we might know you and that we might walk with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us as your people to take it very seriously. Lord, these are the things that matter in life. These are the only things that really matter in life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be wise. Lord, that we would invest our life, invest our energy, invest our time into things that are that matter, things that are not going to pass away and burn up one of these days. Help us to be wise in the investment of our time and our energy and our thoughts and all those things. Lord, help us. Lord, I pray that you'd do a work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray that our church would be a church, Lord, of people that are sold out to the Word of God, sold out to truth, and Lord, that know truth and are grounded in truth. Lord, that we are just simply people of the Word. Lord, that we might be used of you in a great, mighty way. Bless us now as we close. In Christ's name, amen.